Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is in the country where you are listening to this, and welcome to the Grumpy Gets episode 4. That's right, the difficult third album did rather well, it seems, so we're making a fourth. Grr. And as always, I am Adam Pearson, I will be your host and presenter, leading you through the cavalcade of disability news and ridiculous stories that have happened since we last spoke. And again, as always, I am not alone. I am joined by three titans among men who I love, adore, and call friends. Firstly, he's back. That is right. It is my good friend, Simon Sampson. Simon, quiet week or how's it been?
This week it's been exceptionally busy, I'm not going to lie. It's not every day you're in every major national newspaper across the UK and local newspaper.
As someone that has been with you this week, it has been quite the weird one, hasn't it? I'd written this joke. My plan was to introduce you last, and my segue was, we went last time me and Simon Sampson got dinner, he picked up the bill. Segway. And I thought, I'm not going to do that. That's an awful segue. But so, but since you brought it up, Simon, you want to just get it out there?
Yeah, okay. I think the idea is to talk about this before we move on to the podcast. And the reason for it is I have created a TV show called Sun Hill. It is a spin-off from The Bill. It is a brand new British crime drama with established characters. And nothing has been officially signed. However, we are in talks with the original cast members, Graham, Carl, Mark Winnett, and Trudy Gooden. All four of us, we are in a WhatsApp group and we're talking on a regular basis. We've had a few meetings about it. We also have Tony McHale, who created Holby City, on board. He's really interested to be involved. I wrote the pilot. He's polishing it, going over it. And we're on discussions with a number of TV channels about it. And that's where we are at the moment. So we presented this at MIP, MIP TV, which is a TV film festival. And it obviously hit the stands and it went global very quickly. Because The Bill was shown in 55 countries around the world at the time. Used to get 20 million hits every night in its prime. And a lot of people are interested in it. And I've had 10,000 messages, 12,000 messages from random people on Twitter, on email, over the past week or so. And it's been kind of busy.
I'm imagining it's just random people going, oh, who's a casting researcher or what have you? People you've not heard from in years going, hi, Simon. I don't know if you remember me. We used to go to school together. Glad to see you're doing well. Keep in touch.
Yeah.
And then also, just random people going, ah, you have won a Nigerian lottery. Please give us that detail so we can send you your winnings.
It has been quite crazy. I've had emails from Tesco workers asking for a job on Sun Hill. I would like to point out it's not been commissioned yet. We are in very early pre-production stages at the moment. As I said, nothing's been signed, but there is a lot of interest in it. And I've had parents sending me pictures of their kids saying, wouldn't they make a nice youth offender? It's been absolutely crazy. And, you know, I was on the phone to Graham the other day and he said he's had journalists following him. He went to do a Bill reunion, which sold out extremely quickly. And he had to make a statement about it, obviously. And then we moved on. So that's all I'm really saying about it at the moment, because obviously we're here to talk about our podcast. But I think it's important to address the issue, and obviously we'll share this on the Bill pages, on the Twitter feeds, and the Facebook pages as well, so they can listen to what I've said. So nothing has been signed, nothing has been commissioned. We are in really early stages of pre-production, but it's exciting, and there is a lot of interest.
Two men we have already slightly heard from, but I'm going to introduce them anyway, because Mama raised a good man. He is the Cagney to my Lacey. He has possibly the best beard of the Grumpy Gets podcast. Mr. Duncan, how's it been going?
It's been good. I've had a mad week as well, but for just other reasons where things just build up. But yeah, not too bad. And I got a new beard grooming kit, so hopefully that reflects.
Ooh, where from? Where from? We're all about brands and freebies at the Grumpy the Grumpy Gets podcast.
Yeah. Amazon was the purchase location, but it's nice little kit. It's got the bits and pieces, but my wife was in hysterics because suddenly I'm using products.
If there's one thing Adam Pearson loves, it's a little bit of manscaping. So you be that independent woman, Duncan. You be that person. And last but by no means least, I've run out of witty things to say. It is Chris.
That just sums up my week. It's been rubbish. Okay. That really does. That is the cherry on the cake. Not only have I hurt myself accidentally, one after the other, one being cut by a potato, two foot a tackle on my 6-year-old son.
You got cut by a potato?
I did get cut by a potato. Those little growth things like the roots just coming through. Well, so I was cutting potatoes and I thought, oh, I can't get the knife in that. I'll use my thumb. And then I pressed a little bit too hard. It went straight up my thumb and then it started coming out with blood. And then it got infected.
You're going to be the reason. There will now be signs in every supermarket warning you, potatoes may be deadly or whatever. And it's because of you.
It got infected. I two-footed tackled my son and almost broke my toe. It turned purple the next day. And then, obviously, yesterday on the podcast, the Grumpy Dads, I accidentally admitted to buying a sex toy. Well, I thought it was a massive So, yeah, you ask how my week was.
It's a massager. Oh, yeah.
You ask how my week was, just like your intro to me, it hasn't been very good.
Oh, you got to stop.
Well, I didn't mean to rub salt in your already infected wound. And had I have known, I might have tried a bit harder. Then again, I might not have. And FYI, I accidentally bought a sex toy. Might be the worst excuse I've ever heard for anything ever. But we accidentally, yeah, right, Chris. And anyway, let's move on from that very, very quickly and get into something else ridiculous. Do you have any ridiculous questions for us?
I have. I have three ridiculous questions, and the first one, now I might have four, depending on if we've all got an answer for this. I did look at it, and I thought, you know what, people might not have done it, so not everybody would be the answer, but I wanted to find out if anybody had. What's the weirdest conversation you've eavesdropped on?
I've got my answer, but I'm going to let the other two go first.
I mean, I play COD quite a lot, okay? And I play it with my family. And what happens is, if you leave yourself logged on or you go to the toilet or something, you can join that conversation so you can hear people talking in the room. So I accidentally eavesdrop on my family's conversations quite a lot because I've got like lots of nephews and nieces who are PlayStations 4. So it happens on a regular basis. So, for example, I was talking, I remember the conversation. My niece was talking about dungarees, the other night, and saying, "Oh, my dungarees don't fit me." So I sent her a pair of dungarees in the post, just at random. and I got a tweet from her mum, my sister, saying, "Did you send Izzy some dungarees? How did you know she needed some?"
I can't think of a really truly weird conversation I've ever eavesdropped on. I will say I used to one of my early jobs in my career was I worked in a telephone call center for a phone company in Australia. And I was a supervisor. And part of that was I had to occasionally drop in and listen in on calls to ensure that they were being handled correctly and do review and then you hand it to the person. So I'd logged in and this person was actually talking to somebody who was in another part of the company talking, "Oh, ask Duncan about it, he'll know. Oh, I can't stand that guy. Oh, he's just he's so smug. I can't stand it. I can't do it."
That's a pretty good answer, mate, to be fair.
So I stopped it and phoned straight away so that she straight away had a call coming in from Duncan. And she was like, "Hello." I said, "Oh, yeah, just making sure everything's okay." "Yeah. okay, cool, bye.
Okay, we move on to Adam's anticipated answer.
Well, public transport is amazing for eavesdropping because random people just say the weirdest things. And it was in Brighton. It was these two uni girls behind me because Brighton's got a lot of students who and a lot of them talk proper cobblers. And the conversation was just like, oh, did you know that there were 258 calories in one mouthful of semen? Which is a weird way to start a conversation with someone. And the reply was even weirder. The reply was, oh, that would be why I was so fat in college. And I had to get off the bus.
Wow, the first episode was so good, it's gone so downhill.
Oh, I know.
What do you do when you hear something fall in the middle of the night?
Pick up my baseball bat and get my CCTV out. I mean, you can imagine me in my wheelchair going down my really long corridor with a baseball bat going, come here.
I'm surprised you don't have like a radio-controlled tank lined up with a taser gun on top and you can just, with a camera, and you can just if there's someone there.
That is a really good point because I'm expecting him to be like Home Alone torturing. Yeah,
I can actually make this really worse. So me and Adam, we're supposed to be doing a trailer for a comic book that I wrote, which is available on Amazon, by the way, called Three Blind Mice. Yeah, starring myself and Adam and not Warwick Davis. And we were going to be shooting a trailer for this, and for this we had to buy some props. And as one of the props, because Adam's character plays a demon killer, I brought him an axe, a mythological life-size axe, which is actually in my wardrobe under my jumpers. And I, so it's really quite a deadly thing as well. So when I had to actually call the police and let them know that I have got this huge axe in my wardrobe, because if someone came
around... This for my friend.
Yeah.
What was that?
And I said, it's for a film prop. And I said, it's for a trailer we're doing for a comic book called Three Blind Mice. And they said, oh, that's fine. That's not a problem. Don't worry about it. The axe is still there.
I have to question your sanity there, mate. You handed an axe to Adam Pearson.
No, because...
What you said about an axe, look how he reacted to having that axe and how he was swinging it about just then.
No, it's unfortunately Adam didn't get hold of it, which is quite grateful. The reason for it, we had to shut down production the day before lockdown.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to Adam. What would you do if you heard the noise in the middle of the night?
I like how much Simon's described me to the police. Oh yeah, that's for my friend, that potentially deadly weapon. Like, who's your friend? Fucking Jigsaw. Like, people are really saying I'm a psychopath. You're really not helping, Mr. Samson. I'd know what it was, because my brother's got epilepsy. Whenever you hear something falling, probably him. So you go and you deal with it. Either that, or I'm hearing myself falling after a long night out, and then you pick yourself up, apologise to no one because alcohol, and go to bed and sleep it off.
That's a good answer, mate. Duncan, what's your routine when you hear that bump in the night?
I don't tend to hear him. I'm quite a heavy sleeper, so I'm the one. I get woken up by the wife. Duncan, I'm just. Unless I've had a coffee after waking up, I'm a wreck. So it's just like, oh, something downstairs, there's something downstairs. It'll be a cat. No, it was a big thug. It'll be a cat. No, it's you. I'm sure someone's down there. It'll be a cat. Go look now. Pull your ass out of bed, get down the stairs. There's the cat looking at you like, hey!
I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in spirits, anything like that. But I was in bed one night and I could hear this scraping sound. It sounded like something was being scraped and it sounded heavy, and I thought it was the table in the dining room, middle of the night, pitch black, and I am proper scared at this point because it kept on going on and on, and I'm thinking, what could it possibly be that something's dragging the table downstairs in the dining room? Because we had a wooden floor and stuff. Anyway, so I didn't go downstairs because I was scared. So eventually it did stop. So I'm thinking to myself, I got up the next day in the daylight, and it was a little bit windy the next day, and I've got my suit on and stuff ready to go to work. I walk outside, and I realize it's the electricity box, and that it's been left open, and all it's been doing is this in the middle of the night, making a creak every sort of 10 seconds. So, yeah.
Can I tell you what I was hoping to hear there?
Sorry, go on.
You went to reach for your big baseball bat and ended up with a Dixie wand in your hand.
I don't care what it is. If I'm going to fight someone off, I'm grabbing whatever I can find.
I just want to see the newspaper article afterwards. Robert thwarted by a sex toy.
Third crazy question. What outfit could you put together from clothes you own and get the most laughs?
I have multiple onesies. I've got
unexpected a good answer one. From you, Adam.
I've got a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles onesie. I've got a Batman onesie. I've got a Superman onesie. I've got like a Sweeney Todd style jewelry hat. I own multiple blazers, like multiple graphic tees. I could put something together that's just like quite spectacular. I could wind up looking like I've just covered myself in glue and run to a charity shop by the end of it all.
Duncan, what have you got knocking about? What would get the most laughs?
I don't know, because I tend to be a bit like, you know, Zuckerberg and stuff. I've pretty much got the same outfit with just subtle variations. I've worn shorts for the last four years straight.
If you had a pair of white underpants, Y fronts, and a red cape, and you shaved your beard, you could be Captain Underpants. Yeah.
Yeah, but actually, I'm wearing the T-shirt now that gets the most laughs, because it's just me on a T-shirt, everything I stand for.
What, Darth Vader playing?
That is amazing.
I don't know what I was expecting then. There were so many thoughts in my mind as you was coming down, and I was thinking, what has he got on there?
Yeah, I don't have a T-shirt with a Dixie one, sorry, buddy.
We should have a good answer from Simon here. You must have a lot in your house that you can dress up as for us to have.
I mean, we do a good Halloween. You can probably see there's a Shrek behind my shoulder just there.
Glad that made it in there.
Yeah. we were commenting on that earlier in our little comfort break.
Okay. The one that really got me a couple of years ago is when I stand up, I'm 6 foot, and I had a onesie which was made for someone who was probably about 5 foot eight, 5 foot nine. And so it rid up where it shouldn't go. And so things on show that should never be on show at a kid's Christmas, kid's birthday party. And because I can't like get out by my, because I can't twist because I've got my spinal damage, I had to get people like come and help me out of it because it was so inappropriate.
That's the answer we wanted. That's the
answer. Look, you can tell the gender, you can tell the class divide we've got in this group. Marks and Spencer's, Primark.
Primark. Although I will say I'm not buying jeans from Primark. I have ripped, I think, about six pairs. The worst one was putting my son in the car after school. I picked him up. I was putting him in the car at the back, and I felt a breeze, and I had to slide along the car to get in without anybody, because it ripped right up the back, and I had red boxer shorts on, so I thought, that's bad. So, and that's the end of our crazy questions this week.
That is the end of our crazy questions this week. I love this segment. It makes people smile, and it puts smiles on faces. Speaking of smiles on faces, what's your favourite brand of toothpaste?
I've recently switched.
What have you switched to, Duncan?
And more importantly, what have you switched from?
What have I switched from? I was using Corsido. I still do. I'm looking for the new brand equivalent of it, just so I look after the gums and stuff. But
Haven't Colgate like sent you a lifetime supply of toothpaste in the post?
Not yet. Who knows? That may happen, but I almost don't want that to happen. I don't want it to be. I was, you know, this was all because I could then get some free stuff from Colgate or anything like that. But I've been really impressed with Colgate this week, and it has made a huge impact on something like this. And I hope for other people that will as well. But I don't know if any of you guys saw, but Colgate released a new ad this week, or last week actually, and they debuted it on Good Morning Britain. And we'll show the ad in a second, but basically it is a teacher who teaches special needs kids introducing the importance of smiles. So here's the ad.
I work with kids with special needs. I've had kids who told me they can't handle the world. I have kids who said to me they don't want to live. I've had it all. When they come into a class, they're shy, and then they kind of find their place. I have to get a relationship first so the kid trusts me. Kids are smart. They don't know so much, but they're very good at feeling. You can talk about very difficult things with a smile on your face. It's like a flower with no water. You know, you water it and then it grows. Sometimes we get there fast. Sometimes we have to go through a bumpy road, but we'll get there. These kids, they haven't smiled a lot in their lives. And when I see it, I see hope. It's contagious.
So having seen that, can you guys pick up what the issue may have been that we had with that?
Troubled children.
Troubled children. It's the basically he's introduced himself as a teacher of special needs kids, and then they put on teachers troubled children. And it immediately caused a stir on Twitter, and I picked up with that as a chap who highlighted, and I was like, wow, so I actually went onto my PDO Dad channel and just did a video quickly on it and popped it up, tagged Colgate in it and said, look, this is something you need to listen to. I think they liked it because I don't know about you, but I don't think there's a tendency to think that people make these mistakes maliciously or because of, you know, outright ignorance or belligerence or whatever. But I think they were trying to do a good thing. But when, especially with corporations, you know, it goes through this process and suddenly you end up with something and it's just missed the mark and they've got something important wrong. So I tagged them in this. And within 48 hours, they had taken the ad down from their the website and adjusted it so it no longer said that. And within 48 hours, they'd taken the ad off TV. Yeah. And they then... And I feel a bit guilty about this. I should probably, but they, because I think my video was very balanced, they've come back to me and said, hey, we'd really like to talk to you about also our products and what we can be doing to help in particular the SEN community, people who have sensory needs and stuff like that. So something, I mean, I'd love to hear your guys' feedback on what you think on this first.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from my point of view, I come across this all the time in scripts and TV shows and so on and so forth. And I don't think anyone has malicious intent. That's not the issue. It's that
exactly.
Uneducated and unaware that they are making these mistakes. And I think the intention was good, but the execution was extremely poor. And if they just put a special needs teacher or SEND teacher or something along those lines, the advert wouldn't have been an issue at all, I don't think. It, you know, we want to see kids smiling. We want them to have good teeth, and it does promote that. But having troubled children at the beginning and the end doesn't send the right message. It doesn't. It's not the terminology that we use today. And on this case, they did get it wrong, but it could have been amended also quite easily and kept the ad.
Got a couple of points on this one.
Yeah. And
I mean, the interview with Duncan and Colgate, I don't want anybody saying because it is going to be shown on the Grumpy Dad's channel. So it I'm going to give him two different points on this. The first one is, does anybody know the actual definition of the word troubled?
No, I don't actually.
I'll read it out.
I imagine it has nothing to do with Ben. I imagine that falls apart.
The definition of troubled is beset by problems or difficulties.
Yeah, now, so instantly,
I can absolutely 100% understand why they use that word. Yeah. It's our perception is the reason why it's caused offence. And me and Duncan spoke about this yesterday, wasn't it, Duncan?
Yeah.
And the reason is it's our perception. On the other side of things, yeah, perception is all that matters. That's why people were angry.
Adam talked about Sia and the music movie. And we got into it. And Sia's response was just so dismissive and arrogant and ignorant. Mm-hmm. And it pissed everyone off. And I think this shows what happens when, and I'm so impressed it's a corporate entity that's doing this. They haven't gone, oh, well, boo shucks to you. They've actually gone, whoa. And they've tweeted and said, we made a mistake, we're sorry. Here's what we've done about it. And they're then taking it a step further and they're wanting to engage the community. Now, they're engaging, you know, just the one person at the moment. But that's the doorway, I think.
You know, I don't think we should walk away from, because like you said, they are a corporate entity. And while I will give their due, they care. They care. Yeah. I will not say they don't care, but there's one reason why they do care. And that is strictly because turnover. As soon as there was an outrage, they realized that it's going to hit their bottom line. Now, they could have walked away. They could have done what Sia did, but they didn't because of their bottom line. I can't blame Colgate for that. What other company could you imagine who would turn around and go, you know what, we've made this mistake, let's walk away, let's leave them to it, let's let it happen. They could have done that.
No, but that's where I come in with, they are engaging beyond, we've corrected it, we're sorry. Mm. They're taking it a step, the next step. That's where I'm impressed.
Mm. Because aren't they talking about... well, actually, you can kind of tell us what they're going to be talking about. R&D is a department.
This will be up on the Grumpy Dads in the next week or so. And basically, they want the head of research and development for Colgate to have a conversation because they want to look at products which are actually going to aid we are looking more, as I say, the SEND community and those with sensory needs and special needs in that way. But they wanted to engage beyond, we fixed it, thanks a lot, sorry, see you later. Yeah. I'm really impressed they're taking that next step that they want to engage in. How can we make ourselves more accessible for our products? And yes, again, that will come back to the bottom line. I don't doubt that. But I do believe that's a step they didn't need to take that they are taking.
I think it's rough with the smooth in this particular case. They can't get away from being a corporation. They can't. Yeah. So, and like I said, they could have walked away and gone, we made a howler here. Sorry, didn't mean to cause offence, and then just walked away and carried on selling toothpaste or toothbrushes, whatever. But they haven't. And to be honest, it is going to benefit anybody with, say, sensory needs. The bottom line is that we both are going to be walking away gaining something from this mistake they've made. So
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a win-win, and all relationships should be mutually beneficial, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think this one is, and I get the point that the language, the use of the word troubled, instantly puts SEND in a problem-solution model, and then you start doing dangerous things like flirting with peer culture and what have you. So I completely understand the outrage. But I also completely take the point that often these things aren't deliberately done out of malice. I don't think anyone at Colgate woke up that morning and thought, "How can I piss off the SEND community today? Let's rock and roll with that."
Yeah, exactly. No corporation's going to go, "Who can we really tick off today? Let's take a list."
Yeah, and it comes down to again education. But how do you have any people who are from the SEND community, from the disabled community, or who are at the very least disability or SEND adjacent? And we can always pull this back to nothing about us without us.
And yeah, which has been brought up on Twitter, hasn't it?
How many disabled voices fed into this campaign? And I think every board needs a disabled person on it. Think how different the world would be if every board or even every friendship group had that one person that went, I wouldn't do that shit if I were you.
This is hugely beneficial to any company that would do this, because they, if you take away the moral right of having this, that there's a disabled person on a board or whatever in every company, there is a huge market there that they are missing out on because they are not taking in the factor or the outlook from that particular person.
Yeah. Well, there's the valuable 500 statistic that 80% of companies do diversity, but only 4% do disability.
Yeah.
And globally, because again, we're talking about corporations here, and they exist to make money. If you want kind of hugs and kisses, you don't go to a corporation, you go to an escort. And so it's like a $13 trillion kind of global market, the disability market. And so the fact only 4% of companies appear to give a shit about it, as an economics grad and a disabled person, is utterly mind-blowing.
Every organization needs someone to say stop. And I wish Sia had that before she won all the Razzies.
We congratulated her on this, show. Yeah, yeah. Let's give her a hand. See, well done.
Golf clap.
Yeah. I think it was worst actress, worst screenplay, worst songs. And you know, we said it was so insulting. First episode, we said this is a disaster and an insult to everyone in the same community, and the Razzies agreed.
Yeah.
They did. I'm counting that as a win.
Bring on.
I want to say, Adam, you brought up there the nothing about us without us.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. That's part of my wariness at the moment, from a personal perspective, because obviously I'm neurotypical. My relationship to disability and SEND is with my daughter and wife as well.
Yeah. SEND adjacent, right?
SEND adjacent. That's exactly right. But I think it is important. What I really want to hopefully get out of this, and this is part of what I'll be discussing, is I think it's really important that we take this beyond, okay, you're talking to me, but the best thing you can do is, like, I talk about this all the time on PDA Daily in the UK and the stuff I talk about there. I would not be able to help my daughter without engaging actually autistic people myself, because they know her from the inside. I can only assess from my neurotypical brain how her neurodiverse brain is operating and try and support her in that. The best advice I've got has been from actually autistic people who come in and said, you know, when she started hearing voices, and I was like, oh my goodness, what are we doing? And then hearing, oh, we hear that all the time. Now that's quite common with autism. Oh, and suddenly I was able to help her and understand it. And that makes all the difference in the world. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, this is a doorway to something bigger, hopefully.
Absolutely. And I set up a company during lockdown, or was part of setting up a company during lockdown, where we go into big corporations and talk to them about disability. And the first session that we do is just getting them used to talking about it, saying disability is not a dirty word. And unless you address the elephant in the room, you're going to wind up with an effed up room and a really effed up elephant. Neither are good. But I also think you go in, look at the culture that already exists, and I think you need to honour what they're doing well, as well as trying to fix the problems and streamline everything. And no matter what side of the I suppose, and I hate using this term, the privilege divide you're on, everyone wants the same thing, right? No one wants disability to die. We all want the same thing. How do we get there? How do we engage with each other? And as I said earlier, create relationships that are mutually beneficial and get everyone there at the same time. And what's the takeaway from this? What can we all go away from this conversation and do? This needs to be kind of actionable. If this conversation just inspires people and lets them think, oh, thank goodness I'm not disabled, that's a shit conversation. Or if we can be inspired to go away and put action in our day-to-day lives that drives this forward, I'll take that every day of the week.
I do agree with that, but I would address one thing, and obviously Duncan has kind of been subjected a couple of times on Twitter with what you just said, Adam, and it's the fact is that we've got to have patience in this situation. This is a big corporation. They've asked for help, and Duncan he's outright said it, not just to me in direct messages and on WhatsApp, but to other people on Twitter, and that is that he's hoping to open the door to others to get involved. He is going outright to do it. So I think we just, for those people that are watching, we need to have patience to let Duncan do what he needs to do. And then if things don't go right, then we can start talking about what they've done wrong. So,
and I'll be the first to call them on it.
Exactly. Oh, exactly.
Completely. But I agree. For now, I think I've always said I'd rather people inadvertently get things wrong and then loving correction on it.
Yes. And I think that's what this really was the takeaway for me. It just inspired me that they did something about it and then they took the next step. And that's what I wasn't expecting.
Because very often we jump to this catchphrase, oh, ignorance is no excuse. And I'm like, no, ignorance is an excuse once. And that's the first time. After Perfect. That, it becomes willful civil disobedience.
Yeah.
So, and no one loves a good Twitter rant more than Adam Pearson. However, there comes a time when you need to sort of like put the pitchfork down, blow the fire out, and be like, let's engage on a human level here. And let's both be vulnerable, both be people, and unite around our humanity rather than throw around 280 characters at a time of what is, because Twitter's ridiculous. When you boil Twitter down to what it is, it's ridiculous and isn't the real world. And I think very often we forget that. And so, yeah, love and correction, embrace our humanity, and when you only call BS when you absolutely need to call BS. Because if everyone does it all the time, it just becomes white noise.
I can see why Colgate approached Duncan, though. I can absolutely 100% see why they approached Duncan in this particular manner, because you look at a lot of people...
Because of my fabulous teeth.
it's the beard.
It could be a number of reasons, but I think the reason why they approached Duncan is that he went into it in an impartial manner and understood where they come from, but explained where they went wrong. He did it calmly. He did it in a way that they would understand. And he didn't go, like you said, Adam, that people go on this 280 character rant. Who in the right mind would actually go to a person that is screaming and shouting and getting angry and going, oh, could you help us? It's not going to happen. No. You go to the calm person that's put the time and effort in, and then you ask for help, which they've done. So I completely understand why they've approached Duncan.
Yeah. Cooler heads will always prevail.
Exactly.
If you're in like a city, a new city, and you get lost, are you going to go to like the cool, calm person that's lived there, or are you going to go to like the random guy shouting and throwing cats at people?
My wife would go straight to the cats.
That cat guy knows some fun places, though, to be fair.
One of the questions that has haunted my existence for years that we are now slowly unravelling in 2021 Britain is, are all chocolate caterpillars created equal? # free Cuthbert. Now, I don't know who runs Audi's Twitter, but if you're watching this, on behalf of the entire country, thank you and I love you. Inexplicable. You have brought me more joy than Chris's latest Amazon purchase brings its target market over the past 2 weeks. M&S have done more damage to this going to show, just because you have legal rights doesn't mean you should always exercise them. It's great. So Simon, are you team Colin or team Cuthbert?
I'm both. I mean Audi social media experts have done an absolute triumph for this, and one of them, which I heavily support, was caterpillars for cancer. And that, I mean, who comes up with these things? I mean, that is just genius. It raises awareness, it raises money. And, you know, let's do caterpillars for cancer and not lawyers. I mean, it's genius. I mean, and Caterpillar sales have gone through the roof for every major supermarket. And I think it was Morrison's who put one out. He said they felt left out. It's like everyone's joined a Facebook group and they've been left out of the family group because they, you know, they weren't invited to their, into their, they weren't mentioned on the tweets. And I've never seen a most successful campaign where there wasn't a campaign in the first place just take off on social media. It has been phenomenal. And the responses are getting, you know, I mean, even if you just follow Twitter, people have shared it. And you've got Cuthbert behind bars. You've got, you know, banners flying through the air saying free Cuthbert. I mean, it's brilliant.
Is there a price difference between the two? I'm wondering, because obviously, I mean, if you're looking for a chocolate caterpillar cake, I'm tempted to go to Aldi because it's cheaper.
Yeah, well, that's what I think most people will do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's but everyone has one. That's the thing. Morrison's, Asda, Tesco, they all have a caterpillar. Yeah. So.
Yeah, one's got a pink tongue, one doesn't. And again, I can't stress this enough, they're sold in two completely different locations.
Yeah. If you wanted a chocolate quality caterpillar, you're going to go to Marks and Spencer's. If you want a cheap one for the kids or, you know, for a party, you're going to go to Aldi. Let's face it.
No one who remembers the cartoon Wacky Racers, just like big, ridiculous, cartoony vehicles doing awesome, awesome things. Well, Simon, you sent us a photo of what I thought was a live-action remake of Wacky Racers. And then it turns out, actually a thing.
Yeah, have a look at this photo. And this is from Network Rail. Now, if anyone doesn't remember, these lanyards, this is promoting hidden disability lanyards, which are available at Sainsbury's. You can buy them on eBay as well, but I think they're free at Sainsbury's. And this is another one of those cases where the intention is honest and the intention is good, but the execution is absolutely pathetic. And what it is, Network Rail have decorated this buggy, giving lifts to people with hidden disabilities, but it also says, you know, everyone on this buggy has a hidden disability or is disabled. So for me, it's, you know, I now and again, I wear a prosthetic leg, okay, to support my foot, okay, so it's point in the right direction. I might as well take it off, sit on a buggy and just wave it around, you know, hello! Look at my false leg. It's fantastic. I mean, the intention was good, as I said. Execution, they really need a disability officer to someone say, no, that's not acceptable, or consult someone with a disability and say, yes, you can advertise lanyards with hidden disabilities, but don't decorate a buggy where people are going to be transporting in it. Yeah. And
have you ever heard of the comedian Steady Eddie?
No, I haven't.
He's an Australian disabled comedian, and he was very, his heyday was sort of the 80s and early 90s, I'd say, late 80s, early 90s, back when disability centres were called spastic centres. So obviously a term that's now offensive, but that's actually what it was called. But he did a whole piece on this that was, he kept getting told, you're just like everybody else, you've got the same rights as everybody else. And then he got taken to school every day on a bus that had big blue letters down the side, spastic centre. He was like, what are you supposed to do? Really? Yeah. You know, and I think this is that case in point in the 2020s.
It's just one of those mistakes that could easily be, you know, before it got out of hand, it could have been easily corrected and said, look, we, you know, do what Colgate did, put out an apology, let's get this right. And, you know, this is where you, and just say, if, you know, you could have a sign on there instead of decorating the whole thing saying, hidden disability lanyards are available at our customer service desk or something along those lines. You don't need to decorate the whole buggy. So it looks like that everyone on there, whoever gets a lift, has a hidden disability when they probably don't.
They were going, like, I think it's important to honour that they were trying to do a good thing. They were absolutely, their heart was in the right place. However, again, it comes down to poor execution. Like, you know when your four-year-old tries to do the washing up to help mummy, and then you walk in the kitchen and your first thought is, oh, fuck's sake. Like, you know, how have you done that? Like, she's on a different part of the house. And but, you know, the heart was in the right place. The intentions were good. They just didn't think it through. They didn't have that one person going, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
I don't know if Network Rail have replied to us. We'll copy them into this this show. But I don't think they've actually changed either. I mean, I haven't seen anything to say they've taken it down or apologised. So we will be contacting them and seeing what they're doing about it, because it is clearly offensive. They do need to act on it. Yes, the intention was good, but again, they didn't consult anyone and they thought it was a good idea. It wasn't.
Anyway, from one ridiculous thing to another, I know in the context of the three things we've discussed, this is going to sound really weird, but Chris, you have a ridiculous news story for us.
Yeah, it's quite a bad one, but I'm going to read it out.
I'm acutely aware that so far we've discussed chocolate caterpillars, wacky races, and toothpaste. So I don't know how much lower the bar can be set for episode 4. But Chris, what have you got for us?
This one.
Chris, can I ask?
Yep.
Does it cover Hugh Grant going to the shops?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
Okay.
Headline news: Hugh Grant goes to the shop.
No, this is dark. This is horrible. It may even get cut depending on how it goes down.
And Adam says Ofcom doesn't regulate the internet. They will after this.
Well, yeah, they might do. Let me read it out because I'm getting nervous building it up now. Okay, so. Crushed to death by his porn stash. Record holder Tom Barker has been amassing a vintage magazine collection when the piled collection, which weighed over 2 tons, fell through and crushed Tom. The coroner recorded the verdict as an accidental death.
Yeah, this doesn't surprise me, actually. This has happened more regularly than you actually think on stupid deaths. And while it's, you know, crushed by porn is just unfortunate, I mean, 4 people a year are killed by vending machines. I mean, how that happens, I've got no idea. But being crushed by porn, I mean, I suppose it's a good way to go, especially if, like, the magazine opens. I mean,
I don't think they can see. I don't think they can see once they're crushed by it, mate. I think once you're out, you're out.
This is did you ever used to, the Darwin Awards used to be my favourite time of the year.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch? There were so many fantastic stories of people who died in most ridiculous. And I think my favourite of all time was 2 Russian guys. One who died because he'd been stabbed in the chest because he and his mate were testing out whether a bulletproof vest would deflect a knife. Turns out it doesn't.
I feel so bad for this guy. Because he died. But now we now know the answer to the question: how much pornography is too much pornography? I interviewed an artist years ago called Jonathan Yeo, who is the artist that made the collage of George Bush using cuttings from porn. And he just finished doing one of Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods had just been outed as a massive adulterer. So we were in this studio with, like, just all these porn mags piled up, and he just really casually told us to help ourselves if we wanted to. So it's all but one of the crew politely declined. But two tons is a lot of.
Here's the problem. I mean, if he's got a son, okay, I really feel sorry for him because he's going to have to register for short sightedness in a couple of years' time. Because he'll clearly have a visual impairment.
I thought that was an urban myth.
I don't want to make any more jokes on this because it's just going to be strictly masturbation and then losing sight and everything else. I mean, we've dragged this podcast down.
So that's why I can't see and why my hairline's receding. Happy days. You know, every day's a school day. Anyway, it's been fun. It's been a fun hour, wink, editing. And if people want to find you guys on social media to hear the things that we had to edit out of this for legal reasons, where can they find you? Duncan, let's start with you.
My YouTube is PDA.UK, as is my Twitter.
Amazing. And Chris, where can people find you on the old interwebs?
Twitter, and I think it's the Real Grump Dad. I'll have to double check that though. I don't know what my
hat is.
It is. Okay. Yeah. I talk a lot. I just don't look at my handle.
Mate, I only know mine because it's my real name. Anything else would have been completely shafted. Simon, where can people find you on the interwebs?
They can find me on the biggest, most read disability page in the world called Ability Access on Facebook.
And if there are Bill fans watching this, where can they find you?
They can't because it's called Sun Hill.
There we go. Legal reasons. Strike again.
Marketing. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can find me at Adam_Pearson on the old Twitter sphere. But unless you like professional wrestling and computer gaming, probably not going to be your bag. Life's a lottery. Be lucky. See you all in episode 5. Take care.